This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And it's no secret that President-elect Donald Trump does not think that the media has treated him fairly these past many months.
It's record-setting bad treatment, what I'm getting. It's the greatest pile-on in American history. I go to these rallies, and they're starting to hate the media because they see it's all a big lie. And not all, but a lot of it's a big lie.
Now, this isn't new, of course. Donald Trump and his campaign used the media, which is a phrase almost without definition, to focus anger of his crowds.
Now, there's a voter fraud also with the media, because they so poison the minds of people by writing false stories. They are the I believe, actually, they are more crooked than crooked Hillary. I really do. That's a lot.
Now, on the one hand, as president-elect, Donald Trump appears to be learning that to be president is to not like the press coverage you're getting sometimes. And much of the political press may be, for the first time in years, actually stretching its adversarial muscles. Every president has a partly symbiotic and partly dysfunctional relationship with the press. But Donald Trump so far is like no other president-elect. And the relationship may require coping skills the press hasn't used in a very long time. Bill Keller is the editor-in-chief of the Marshall Project and former executive editor of our partner, the New York Times. And he joins me now to discuss the president-elect's treatment of the press and the press's treatment of the president-elect since winning the election. Bill Keller, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
What's your take on this shifting landscape and how a responsible press in a democracy might want to cover somebody like Donald Trump?
Well, you know, Trump not only upset the norms of how candidates behave, he actually upset the norms of how the mainstream media behaves. I mean, it would have been hard to imagine back when I was executive editor of the New York Times that we would have just used the word lie to describe something a candidate said. Maybe we should have done it more often. And certainly in Trump's case, it was justified because he has a sort of a strange relationship with the truth. But, you know, I mean, the New York Times ran a story on the front page, a week of whoppers from Donald Trump, that was just a list of the things that he'd said that were untrue over the course of 1 week. That's a sort of new phase in the level of scrutiny that candidates are being given. Again, I think that's justified, but I think there's a little recalibration going on now. You know, do you want to call the president a liar as a matter of routine on the front page of the New York Times, or do you back off a little bit and just point out that, you know, here's what the president said, here's what the facts show, but maybe restrain yourself when it comes to actually calling him a name?
Well, we had two very different interactions between Donald Trump and the media organizations in just the last 48 hours. Broadcast executives and anchors went to Trump Tower, where Trump criticized and complained about coverage. And on the record at the New York Times, where he answered questions for about an hour, made some news. What do you make of these two interactions and the relationship so far?
Well, the broadcasters are getting a lot of flack for having acceded to Trump's demand that it be completely off the record. I sort of sympathize with them. They've got jobs to do, and the jobs, particularly in broadcast, require some access. So, you know, they were more in negotiating mode than news gathering mode. But I'm proud to see my old employer, the New York Times, take a more aggressive approach and basically call Trump's bluff and say, you know, we'll give you 15 minutes with the publisher off the record to talk about our relationship, but we want you to stick around and answer questions because that's what presidents and presidents-elect are supposed to do.
So where is this relationship headed, do you think? I have a sense that with the new administration coming in, and this happens all the time to an extent, but there are parts of this that are unique. The press and the president-elect kind of, if I dare say, sniffing around each other in a new way here.
You know, we've had presidents in my lifetime with tense relationships with the press. Richard Nixon, famously, and George W. Bush comes to mind. But we've never had one quite like this, where they came off of a campaign where it was just seething with mutual hostility. I know a lot of people in the press since Election Day have been going through the sort of stages of grief, or the equivalent of that. You know, the first being a kind of self-flagellation over how did we not see this coming, and you know, a sense of, oh my God, we're going to face the most press hostile administration of our lifetimes, and by the way, we told you what Donald Trump was and who he was, and voters ignored us. So there's a sort of existential angst. The media seems to have now moved into the stage of looking for silver linings. Oh, look, he's talking to Mitt Romney. He invited, he took an invitation from the New York Times and answered questions, and he's trying to make nice.
Right. Well, this debate is ongoing, and a lot of people in the press and reporters have been comfortable defending media norms when it comes to Donald Trump's treatment of them, and less comfortable defending political and cultural norms of the broader democracy. And there's going to be a lot to see as this president-elect transitions into the White House. Bill Keller, editor-in-chief of the Marshall Project and former executive editor of the New York Times. Thank you so much, Bill.
You're welcome.